This is Mucho Radio. My name is Murat Nahimana, and I'm a Mucho Radio young journalist. And I'm joined here by...
As Professor Rufuno Makado from the University of Venda in South Africa.
Thank you for being with us on Mucho Radio. We are here at the Mount St. Vincent University at a conference room here on this beautiful day. And we are here to talk about the conference that took place that was sponsored by the Delmar Day Buddy Learning Institute. And so for our guests that don't know who you are, do you mind giving us a little introduction about yourself?
As I said, my name is Rufuno Makado. I'm a full professor in the University of Venda, but mainly my focus is on public health, although within that I'm community orientated, wherein I do most of research in trauma and violence research, HIV, AIDS, and TB, integrated care, as well as non-communicable diseases, and then some of the issues based on how we ended up meeting with DBDLI. It's through the Ubuntu research that I run when we're doing, although the first beginning of the focus was on Ubuntu model of health, which is a way that we approach health provision. But as it goes, we became to find that health is not just about sickness and illness. It's also about not being fine spiritually, emotionally, as well as also financially. Because they always say a hungry man is an angry man. So it doesn't mean the person is sick. So health, it means it's a holistic element. So that's when we met and join hands with DBDLI, and because the two approaches, Afrocentric as well as Ubuntu, there's no way you can say you are separating them in any way. So we then found the connection, hence we are here. But in essence, I am from South Africa, and I am a scholar, basically, who had opportunities to do teaching and learning trainings in McMaster University here in Ontario, and then as well as my pre-doctoral study in Johns Hopkins, just in the neighbor in Baltimore, and also my post-doctoral studies at the UCLA in California. Yes, so I think I can say that is brief about me, but we had became a collaborator with DBDLI in 2022, where in 2023 we hosted a conference together. Then also 2024 we had a conference in South Africa, and then we had a symposium again just last year in September. So I think we've been far, but we're still moving very strong.
Yes. And we are proud to have had you on Mucho Radio in the past, and for this conference we've had many, many important talks. What were some of the key takeaways here for you at this conference?
I think the most key takeaways that I can put on the table, I think I'm more proud about the representativeness of the community. I don't know if I should say the African Nova Scotian community representation, as well as also other community members, which are may not African, but who felt the need to support the movement. And also when we're trying to look at the focus of this conference, when we are looking at Afrocentric education in general, it doesn't mean that we're saying we want to change how education is being provided, but we also need to look at it holistically to say, even though this is how education is being provided, how much of it embraces the African culture, and in which we ourselves, we are African. And I do understand that Africans can differ from area to area, but as at the end of the day, we are all Africans. So one of the takeaway among all that I can look at is how we had the elders' wisdom circles, wherein it became a platform wherein different stakeholders or different age groups and different key government personnel or even scholars, university professors and so on, sit in one circle, and then we try and gather wisdom from them, and then which is something that I doubt many conference do that. So the wisdom circles is one of the South African ways. I'm sure even more African ways, when they have those meetings around a tree, and then you find they are those who are wisdom or knowledge holders that are key, and then they gather and they talk about, they discuss their own challenges, and then they come up with solutions based on their own engagement as well as also the support of the those who carries the wisdom. And then that means that we, after that sitting, which mainly in South Africa we call it Chivizo, Imbizo, or Indaba, when people sit in one area and they really resolve their own problems. We have a matter, then we sit down, we resolve it ourselves. So that is one thing that I feel this conference carried. And then as well as also providing different forms of how do we approach our own problems. Because not one approach can solve the Nova Scotian problems. Somewhere, somehow, you need to find others that are aligning and they are leading you to a solution that you need. So at the same time, I think the issue of the Black Report, which it seems, because I wouldn't say I'm really devoted or something that I have learned and to live with, but it's something that as much as we were dealing with our own challenges of apartheid, apartheid is the type of how we were colonized in South Africa, wherein we couldn't do a lot of things just because we're blacks, and then whites had the upper supremacy and so on. So as we were dealing with that, even this side, they were dealing with the Black Report, and then they were trying to resolve challenges that were identified. And then I'm sure up to today, there might be progress, but it's still a recommendation still needs to be finalized, and then all those things needs to still be dealt with. So there seems to be progress in some of the elements or some of the recommendation, and then of which listening and being in this conference shared a light to say there's somewhere that we are going. But at the same time, I feel also this is something that as Nova Scotians, there is still a need of ensuring that sometimes we can be looking at the recommendations and so on, but we also need to be paying attention on interventions that we need to put in place, so that at least even as we are dealing with the Black Report, we are also advancing as a country or as a province in these elements. Because sometimes we can cry, but if we are crying seated, there's nobody who will come and wipe our tears. I mean, who will be there to just come wipe our tears? We need to stand up, cry while you're working, so somebody passing can see you have already, you are making effort. So even when they're assisting somebody who's doing something. So it shouldn't be taken as I'm saying they're not doing something. I'm saying we need to really up our game and ensure that we stand firm on what we want to see as Nova Scotians, you know. And the other part is how you have individuals that have been in the forefront. I mean, if I'm looking at what the keynote address on the opening day was bringing, that was a brilliant show of showing that within ourselves and within the Nova Scotians, there is an element of taking the lead and then ensure that we can make a difference. And as much as we're using the Sankofa of saying you need to look back in order to carry forward, yes, we do that, but let's do that with stronger interventions that we know we can sustain. Because sometimes there is element when we have proper solutions, but those solutions are not sustainable. So we need to also come together and sit and find things that we know. And we also have a plan of succession plan. Imagine if now we are saying most of the people that we can call to come talk about the Black Report are elders. What will happen if they are not there? Who is taking this forward? What is the succession plan? I mean, succession plan is not just about at work. It's also about life. Knowledge needs to be preserved. And then we need to know how do we take this forward, even without our elders. The youth needs to be engaged in this. Because as we look at it, if those elders who now we regard them as the knowledge holders are gone, that means even the knowledge is gone. So there need to be a place wherein these elders needs to have young men, youth, that they are taking through so that they keep that knowledge going forward. Some, it can be in writing. It can be in literature. Then things needs to be there. They needs to be available so that even those, when we carry forward, I'm sorry to use the Bible, but somebody felt it was necessary to have something that can keep similar word going forward for the rest. I mean, who knows how old is the Bible, but it's still keeping the same type of message. The same issues that we have suffered, if we keep them in some way recorded, then it will echo even the generations to come. They will know that this had happened and then our forefather did their best up to here. Then we are taking from here moving forward. And then also when other generations come, they will still be going. And then by the time we will see ourselves as equals. I'm sorry to use as equals, because the reason I'm saying this is that we talk, even in this conference, there was a lot of talks about decolonizing, you know, Ubuntu-fizing, meaning trying to bring people Afrocentric approaches and so on. But even though we are doing that, as much as we might discuss this, we'll still be playing catch-up. Yeah, because the other ethnic groups are way ahead of us. We're just playing catch-up, but together, that step that we make, it means something. Even though we don't level up with them, but that one step that is taking us closer to being ourselves, believing in ourselves, uplifting our own cultural issues, because that is where some of the challenges come. Some, if I ask you what culture are you, you might find it very difficult to really pinpoint me to say that is the culture that I have. And this is not just a problem here in the diaspora or something. It is also a problem in also some of the African countries, that you go straight down in Africa and then you ask somebody what is your culture, you may find them not even knowing because of how the cultural aspect has been swallowed by the Western ways of doing things or the colonizer, you know. So those are the things that are there. But we need to come out, uplift our own cultural practices, also our own traditional ways of doing things, our traditional way of learning. So some we can talk decolonizing, but we still need to be relevant to the world today. So you can't really throw everything away, because you still need to meet to be able to enter anywhere and you find yourself relevant. And that does not it doesn't take away your culture. It just makes you able to fit, but still preserving what is yours. So I'm not sure if maybe I tried to address most of the things that you're asking.
Very, very powerful words, Professor. You mentioned succession of plan and keeping the knowledge. We on Mucho Radio, we incite people to really do the knowledge. And also, it is our job as a radio to archive what was said by our, as you mentioned, forefathers. Do you think that, you know, once again, a black radio in a country like Canada has its place and its importance for people of African descent?
Yes, I have no doubt. it does. And then I think it also comes with what do you stand for as a radio, because it can be a black radio, but you find that what is being discussed, it deviates from what you are standing for. So I think you need to also, as a radio, to be clear on what you stand for, and you stick to what you stand for. And I don't see any problem. I think even the last time I told you, there's also some of the issues in our own countries where in cultural or rural radios, you don't speak English. You speak the language that everyone within that community understands. And by doing that, they are emphasizing that we don't want to say things that somebody will have problems understanding what you said. So whether they learn it or not learn it, they need to understand the information that we're sharing. So that is, I'm giving that as an example to say, even within yourself, there's elements that you can start also sharing the same message that most of this organization as well as institution that are promoting Afrocentric learning, Afrocentric approaches to learning. And then if it becomes also your ground, I don't see why the whole Nova Scotia could not be singing the same song every corner you turn, because it starts with having a focus and then staying in that focus. That is how you become the driver without even sitting in a car, but just making sure that your mandate and your focus are clear, and then they're promoting Afrocentric learning or approaches in teaching. And then also discussions that you have, you keep bringing people who stimulate understanding from the youth. Sometimes it's not that the youth won't like to know about Afrocentric approach, but it's the way that this message is going. You find it's not entertaining for them. It's not inviting for them. So you need to find ways of how to invite them to become listeners or key listeners to what you do. So from me, I say you the right radio station for this. Yes.
Thank you, Professor, again for being on Mucho Radio, and we hope to hear more stories and takeaways from yourself.
Thank you.